talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Welcome to the Quiet Corn. I'm Elsa Clack. Breakfast is served between 5:30 and 6:15 a.m.
What if we sleep to a normal hour?
Well, that would be very rude of you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
It's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday.
Baking soda! I got baking soda!
Forgive me, but you're talking nonsense.
I don't know that I've ever watched the news.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Is this what marijuana feels like?
No, I don't think so.
Because I don't like it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
All right! I love mimes!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Son, you got a panty on your head.
Roll another one.
I don't have no idea.
Just like the other one.
I just don't know why they're such mean
this
people.
This seems to be about to quit.
It's our time to shine.
Good morning, douchebag.
Roll another one.
If you're twittering, you.
Just like the other one.
Got the solo.
This one seems to be about.
Anything else I can listen to?
I don't have another cent.
Hey, everybody, what's up with Kevin? I've been a big fan, long time him.
O-M-F-G. Just pass it around.
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Stay tuned now for the amazing Tammy Heidi.
And now,
one question. Is it too late to change the name?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday morning, the 9th of January.
Yeah, it might be too late to change the name.
Yeah.
I think at this point, I think it's fairly entrenched. Although we should have worked out some sort of a deal where you got to be first for the first 25 years and then it switches.
I would have taken that deal.
I know. I think I would have, too. Welcome in, kids. It is Friday. Kevin, we learned that you don't watch the news because you're a kid. But if you ever do watch the news, I don't know if you've ever conducted this experiment, count what percentage of the stories are bad news.
I've not conducted that, but I imagine 99% of it is, right?
Yeah. It really, I mean, I get why people don't watch the news because it's a carjacking and then it's an explosion and then it's a suicide and then it's a police standoff and then it's a measles outbreak at Disneyland. I don't know why good news isn't news, but man.
I don't think anyone would watch if they said, hey, the city of Downey yesterday had no crime. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a story.
But there must be a lot of great things that are happening, things that are happening that don't get reported.
Yeah, heartwarming stories, I'm sure.
Here's what I would say to that. If it got ratings, they would do it.
Right.
No, I think you're probably right. So you think people wouldn't be that interested in the story of the puppy that got recovered? You know, the puppy was lost and then got found and everybody was happy about it. You think that's not the story?
Yeah.
Well, there are two stories that have come out in the last week that have been extremely heartwarming, that are real testaments to the human spirit. You guys probably heard about the plane crash over the holidays, little girl who walked away from the plane crash. You hear about that, Kevin?
No.
I knew there was a plane crash, and I knew they found people. I didn't know a little girl walked away.
No, you're thinking of the one in Indonesia where everyone died. No, this is a small plane. This was a family that was flying from Florida to, well, I'm not sure where they were going. The family is from Illinois. It's possible they were flying back to Illinois, but it was a mom and a dad and two kids and a cousin. And they're flying in a small plane, and the plane went down over Kentucky, crashed in the woods. January in Kentucky, by the way, it crashes in the woods. The 7-year-old girl, the daughter, is the only person that survives the plane crash. And she walks hours through the woods to somebody's house and to safety.
Wow.
The plane was upside down. Everyone else was dead. She survived. She just shows up at this guy's house in the middle of the night. She's barefoot. She's wearing shorts, no coat. She's out there in the snow in January in the dark, finds her way to this guy's house in this pretty remote area of Kentucky. Now, obviously, this is not all good news because everyone in that family died.
Yeah, no kidding.
But the fact that a 7-year-old girl survives that crash and walks away to safety, the fact that, she didn't also die just from being out there and disoriented in the wilderness is, is a miracle. So that's thing one. Thing two just happened over the weekend. Earlier this week, sorry. And this involves, Chip, listen up, this involves a former Miami Dolphin, a fullback named Rob Conrad. He played for the Syracuse Orangemen as well, but he played 6 years with the Miami Dolphins. You hear about this one, Lisa?
Mm-mm.
All right. He's out fishing in the Atlantic Ocean, and he has not done an interview yet. So what little details we have about this story, we got from the paramedics, the emergency people that ended up treating him in the hospital. He's out fishing alone. Wednesday evening is when it happened, and he falls off his boat. He's 9 miles from shore. He falls off his boat. You think, hey, no problem, just swim up to your boat and jump back on. Well, for some reason, the boat was on autopilot.
Oh, no.
It took off.
Oh, no.
Now he's out in the ocean, 9 miles from shore, at night.
I saw this movie.
By himself.
It doesn't go well.
This is open water.
Yep.
Don't think about the sharks. He swims 11 hours, 9 miles, back to safety.
He does not.
How does
anyone swim 9 miles?
Unless you're trained for that.
He is 38 years old and remained in excellent shape as he just retired from football in 2004. Well, that's a long time. That's 10 years to be out of the game. But he retired in 2004, stayed in good shape. He swam onto a beach, went up and knocked on a door. They called the paramedics, and they came, took him to an area hospital. He was treated for hypothermia. As I said, he has not done an interview. His friends that he was meeting for dinner that night alerted authorities, hey, our guy is missing. He went out fishing, and he's gone. The Coast Guard sent out a plane. They looked for about an hour, didn't see anything. Then this guy shows up at 4:40 in the morning. He shows up on the beach after swimming 9 miles.
Did he have a life vest? Do we know?
Doesn't say here. I'm hoping there'll be an interview. I'm hoping somebody will sit down and get the details about this.
That is an
unbelievable
story.
It's not possible.
When I was doing it, swimming a lot, I swam a mile, and that's a long, long way.
Yes.
I can't imagine 9 miles
and now
in the ocean.
In the ocean at night. Yes, exactly.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
Yes.
That just happened.
Unprepared and untrained, yet a survivor. So that is right there. I know there's a lot of bad news. There's two stories right there of people that probably shouldn't be alive but are. And I think it's pretty inspirational.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
What's that awful smell?
I still think it's Muggs, by the way. He says it's not him. I think it's him.
I'll tell you who it's not is Maggie Grace.
No.
Yeah.
She's a good deal. Talking to her about taking three.
She shouldn't go to Europe anymore with her family.
That is an unfortunate family right there.
They have a lot of bad luck, man.
Movie beat, because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We have RJ Bell in Las Vegas giving us his picks for the NFL divisional playoffs this weekend.
Muggs, this is where you make back all the money you've lost over gambling. Just follow whatever RJ says for this weekend's games.
I can't lose.
You can't lose.
You can't lose. You've already lost, though, really. Let's be honest. Brand new internet roundup. Michael Schneider from TV Guide joins us to talk about the Golden Globes this weekend and other TV news.
Yeah.
And the star of Boyhood, Eller Coltrane, will be here in studio. Very excited about that. That's coming up. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
More two-day VIP passes to Shaun White's Air and Style at the Rose Bowl next month and lift tickets to Bear Mountain. We got those coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. And every hour, we'll hook you up with tickets to see Foo Fighters tomorrow night at the Forum. How about that? We'll tell you about that coming up. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. Hey, Rob.
Come on. Come on. How can this be? Andy Dorfman and Josh Murray have called off their engagement?
Wait. They met on the Bachelor and they're not going to get married?
Andy Dorfman, of course, was the Bachelorette and proposed to Josh Murray at the end of that season. And they were even on the red carpet on Monday night.
Yeah.
Well, they announced yesterday that things just aren't working out.
That is a surprise. I'm with Bean. That seems like that's a solid plan to find a mate.
We have decided that it's best for both of us to go our separate ways. We are very sad that it has come to this point, but it is what's best for both of us individually.
So were they lying liars who lie on the red carpet the other night then? They were just going through the motions?
Chris Harrison asked them, what about your upcoming wedding? What's going on? And Josh said, well, we have no immediate plans. So I guess he was telling the truth there.
Man, if they can't make it, right?
Yeah, they can't. Maybe these guys can. I love it when people I love in show business couple up. Chris Pine and Anna Kendrick apparently are a hot couple. How nice.
That does seem perfect.
Does seem perfect. He's cool. She's awesome. According to Star Magazine, they met during the filming of Into the Woods in 2013. And they've been dating ever since, sort of under the radar. But congratulations to those guys. They're both attractive, talented people. Bill Cosby performed his last show in Ontario last night. And this time, apparently, there was a heckler in the audience. A man stood up and yelled that Cosby was a rapist during the show. And the crowd started to boo the man. Cosby asked the crowd not to respond to him. And he was removed by a police officer as the crowd applauded.
What's going on there?
Who's that crowd, by the way? One member of the audience yelled, "We love you," to Cosby as the man was taken from the theater. He continued on with his routine. Later in the show, a woman walked past the stage on the way out of the theater, and Cosby stopped the show and asked where she was going. She said she was going out to the lobby to get a drink. Cosby said, "You have to be careful about drinking around me."
He said, not allowed to make jokes about him raping women.
As the audience applauded the line.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
wow.
Bill, that's right, because you drug people. Woo! Cosby!
Wow. Well, now I think he's a bad man.
Now you do. Now you finally, you're on the other side of the argument.
Yep, he just lost me.
I see. Speaking of bad men, O.J. Simpson having a tough time apparently behind bars. National Enquirer is reporting that O.J. is in a relationship with a fellow inmate, a transsexual named Jasmina Jameson. And according to sources, the several homophobic inmates don't appreciate the love connection. Insiders say he got jumped and wound up battered, bruised, and beaten severely, according to sources. So O.J.'s paying for his love, man.
I'm the juice.
Here's the juice.
Whatever that is. Let's try to be a good guy.
You are a good guy, Juice. Fargo, season 2. It's in the works.
Very exciting.
Over there on FX. Here's the cast, as far as we know. Patrick Wilson, who I love. He will be one of the regulars on the show. He'll be playing the same character that Keith Carradine played in the first season. Lou Salverson. Ted Danson will also be a regular in the cast. Gene Smart is joining the cast. And here are some of your guest stars. Kirsten Dunst, Brad Garrett, Kieran Culkin, Jeffrey Donovan, and Nick Offerman will all be making guest appearances on the show.
Wow. So this one's set in 1979, and it'll have some of the same cast members as the Fargo we've already seen, right?
Some of the same characters. I don't know if it's any of the same cast members.
Okay, gotcha.
Some of the same characters will be returning, but they may be played by other actors, and it looks like they will.
Maybe younger versions of those.
Exactly, Bean. Gotcha. Once again, you have crystallized my thoughts perfectly.
How great was that Fargo, you guys?
It was so good.
It's really well done. And great numbers for Fox's new show, Empire, on Wednesday night. A lot of people tuned in to watch the story of a man building his recording empire. I'm just trying to build something to pass on to you, my children.
I can't believe Jada Pinkett Smith
isn't
in that.
No, you don't! What about me? What about my part of this empire? Oh, that's right. I forgot. I owe you some money for the empire.
Is that your impression of the whole show?
Empire on Fox, Wednesday nights. Yeah, it was a good move for Fox because Empire took the place of Red Band Society, the dead children show.
Right.
And quadrupled the ratings for that very same show in that same slot. So, good stuff. It even beat the ratings for its lead-in, American Idol. Empire did better than American Idol did.
Wow. Idol's just on fumes, right?
Yeah. So, it looks like they've got a hit on their hands if they can hold on to that audience. And I think they can. Because he's building an empire to pass on to his children. I don't think so. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Nina Dobrev.
Oh, Nina. Yep.
Oh, the Neenster. She's 26 years old today. Singer Dave Matthews turns 48. Jimmy Page. Want to talk guitarists? Boom. There you go. Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page is 71 years old today. And one of my favorite actors in the business, actor J.K. Simmons, celebrates his 60th birthday today. You see that Whiplash yet?
I have.
No. Oh, man.
I've seen that.
That's a tough movie.
It's a tough movie.
That's a tough movie, that Whiplash. But worth checking out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So every hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we want to give away some free tickets for tomorrow night's Foo Fighters at the Forum special show. By the way, I'm told it is sold out now, so maybe this is the only way you're going to get to go see Dave and the boys tomorrow night, celebrating his 46th birthday. We're going to do it with a little game that we like to call the Kevin and Bean Phrase That Pays.
Wow, very dramatic.
I thought that sounded good. I like that.
Phrase That Pays.
Do I not have the voice to pull off the...
try to commit. Try to make it a thing. It's the Phrase That Pays. I put all the reverb we want on that. It sounds like ass.
It's a little game we like to call the Kevin and Bean Phrase That Pays.
There you go. That's much better. Now.
Didn't know you had it in
you. Something.
Much better.
Instead of right. Nothing.
We're only going to say this one time. But be caller 20 when you hear, Kevin, what is it?
You're a dumbass.
Yay!
You're a dumbass.
All right. So
that was twice.
That was twice. No,
that was twice. Now?
My
Do
bad.
I call now?
My bad.
Do I call now?
Nope.
The guy said we're going to say this once.
I know he said that.
The other guy said we're going to say it once. And then the first thing you do is say it twice.
The other guy.
Are you brand new? The both of you? Hall of Fame!
Okay, that wasn't it. But next time.
Right. So the next time you hear that Phrase That Pays. Next time you hear that
Phrase That Pays.
Be caller 20 and win Foo's tickets. We'll do that every hour for you this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, it's Friday. That means it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
A couple great films expanding into wider release this weekend, and one brand new movie that I think will be number one when it's all said and done. Let's take a look at some of the smaller films, though, that you can now find in more theaters if you want to check them out. We talked about this film a little bit before when it was in limited release, but I wanted to mention it again. Inherent Vice is the name of the new film from Paul Thomas Anderson, Joaquin Phoenix, Josh Brolin, Owen Wilson, Reese Witherspoon. A great cast. In this bizarre, weird, twisted 1970s drug-fueled Los Angeles detective story in which Joaquin Phoenix plays Larry Doc Sportello, who's investigating the disappearance of a former girlfriend and her rich boyfriend. Here's a scene from the film to give you an idea how sort of quirky and weird and strange it is, as most of Paul Thomas Anderson's work is. Joaquin Phoenix talking to Reese Witherspoon about Mickey Wolfman.
Whoa, what are you doing here? Yeah.
Well, let's see if you're free for dinner. I'm going to freak you out.
Are you all right?
Am I?
Are you?
This is the one I was telling you about.
You know your pals had Mickey Wolfman.
What? The FBI? I mean, we suspected, but we couldn't prove it.
Well, I saw him in their custody.
You saw him?
Yeah.
Would you be willing to let me depone you?
Sure would.
You would?
What is it?
Depone you. Selma is also expanding in wide release this weekend. The story, of course, of Dr. Martin Luther King and his campaign to secure equal voting rights. Via an epic march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama, back in 1965. One of the most important moments in the race equality movement. And Dr. King, of course, one of its most important players. Here's a scene from Selma where Dr. King is giving a statement to the press.
While rageful violence continues toward the unarmed people of Selma, while they are assaulted with tear gas and batons like an enemy in a war, no citizen of this country can call themselves blameless, for we all bear a responsibility for our fellow men. If you believe all are created equal, come to Selma. Join us. Join our march against injustice and inhumanity. We need you to stand with us.
That looks good.
It's a great film. And Taken 3 opens up this weekend. Ha ha! You got that right. Brian Mills, ex-government operative. What happens? Oh, nothing. His wife gets murdered, and he is framed.
If only he had a particular set of skills that he could use to try to find the true killer and clear his name.
Wait, are you suggesting he's well-equipped for this kind of job?
I think this is right up his alley. Liam Neeson returns, of course, in Taken 3. Maggie Grace as his daughter, Famke Janssen as his ill-fated wife. This time, Forrest Whitaker's added to the cast as the police detective who's trying to hunt him down. If you took The Fugitive with Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones and you mated it with Taken, you would get Taken 3. Here's Liam Neeson, of course, telling Forrest Whitaker that he's innocent.
By now, I'm sure you know who I am. You know what I'm capable of.
I am beginning to. Let me ask you something just so I'm clear. CIA operative, Division 6, Division 7, what?
All you have to know is I'm innocent.
If you give me 2 days, I can prove it.
I can find out who did it.
You may very well be innocent, Mr. Mills, but that's the court's job to decide. It's not mine.
My job
is to bring you in and let the law take its course. That's it.
Good luck.
Ha! Good luck! Good luck! Good luck!
Good luck. Who would have ever predicted Liam Neeson? 5 years ago, if you had come in and said Liam Neeson was going to be a huge action star, we wouldn't have believed you, would we? That's just not the kind of movies he did
for a long time. I love it. I love everything.
I do, too.
Where he kicks ass,
great.
I'll watch.
I think he's great.
Well, he's been kicking ass for a long time. Just hasn't really had a success with it. I mean, Darkman, one of his first films, was an action-adventure superhero movie where he was absolutely kicking ass, and it just, you know.
But the movies that made him famous, the things that we think of when we think of him, are the Schindler's List and roles like that, you know?
That was action-packed. Him and Ben Kingsley typing the F out of that list.
He really did.
You don't know, man.
So, is this a sequel that needed to be made?
Yes!
Ralph? Okay.
Yes!
So, you think it's going to be good?
Yes!
Okay.
I'm in.
I hope so.
Liam Neeson killing people.
Yep.
Just make the next movie called Liam Neeson Kills People. And then just release that, and I will be there, front row, with my popcorn. Because he has a particular set of skills. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
It's been a while since we caught up with our friend RJ Bell from pregame.com in Las Vegas, but I think it's time because we got NFL playoff games this weekend and the College Football National Championship Monday night. So we'll talk to him about both of those. Maggie Grace on the program next hour as well, and TV Guide's Mike Schneider. It's all coming up on the world famous K-Rock.
First, it's time for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. It was full, as you can imagine, when we got back from the holidays.
Oh, yeah.
One leftover, though, because this guy seems to take so much joy in the fact that Bean fell off the stage at Acoustic Christmas. But wait till you hear it.
Okay.
It really, I mean, maybe Bean would even choose to do it if he knew this guy would be this happy about him falling off.
Hey, Bean, I just watched you fall off stage. You're a dumbass.
You know what's remarkable for me is that that guy sounds so much like this guy.
Who fell off the stage?
Are we sure it's not Jed just calling the Afro line and clowning me?
Who fell off the stage?
Yeah. We also have this guy. And I don't know why.
Suck it.
All right. Would you ever call someone's machine and just say that?
No. No. And again, as you have pointed out so often in the past, Kevin, we need some context. If you're trying to get a message about something that you hate that we do on the air, you got to tell us what it is because we can't guess.
Esta noche Santa Claus haciendo cena noche.
Oh, no. Not so, Sam.
So that happened over the holidays. Did we say first caller, Bean?
20.
Oh. I'm waiting for Chip. All right. Then this guy called.
This is African jazz. Jazz it up, baby. Oh, jazz it up, baby.
Okay. Then after that guy, this guy called. Then,
yes.
This guy called.
Oh, it's a Merry Christmas time. Oh, special the time of this year.
If Sam did not have the Kevin Bean Afro line to call, would he have no one else to call?
No.
I believe that's true. We're his friends, right? That's it.
I think that's true. Yeah. All right, let's go to line five real quick. Mm-hmm. Hi, Ramon.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Why are you calling?
I just heard somebody on the Afro line. They said something about being a dumbass. You're a dumbass? I don't know.
You're a dumbass, yes. That's the phrase that pays.
Awesome.
You got tickets to see Foo Fighters tomorrow.
Woo!
Oh, all right.
Nicely done.
Awesome. Love having plans all of a sudden.
Love having surprise plans.
Have a great time, Ramon. Thanks for listening to Kevin and Meacham. We'll have another phrase that pays and another pair of tickets for the sold-out Foo Fighters at the Forum show between 7 and 8 o'clock.
Now, you probably don't remember who the last guy was that called, but this guy called.
La, 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 la.
Oh, my God. Make it stop, Kevin.
And then right after that guy, this call came in.
What does the Armenian comedian think our reaction is going to be when we hear him playing the recorder on a phone? That we're going to go, yes, talent.
I really don't know. I really don't know. But he seems to be doing it a lot. And then, over the holidays, apparently it was his birthday. So that needed to be celebrated.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, Sam. You are going to be what age? 64. Happy birthday to me. Ha, 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 ha. Yahoo!
Ha-ha-hoo! Happy birthday!
All right, so when I heard that one, I thought it's Sam calling. Now he's calling. This is a party.
It sounds like it's during his birthday party.
Yes, it does.
It's during his birthday party.
So he's got actual friends and family in the room with him, and he's like, hold on, I've got to call my imaginary radio friends and leave a message.
And they're not there, but I'll leave a message. And then he called while his family and friends were singing happy birthday to him. That happened.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, my God.
What a sad happy birthday. Have you ever heard a worse happy birthday song? It sounds like a funeral dirge. Is that the right word?
Yes.
Yes.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday. To me. Thank you.
I mean, I guess it's nice that he thought to include us, but doesn't it seem like he should be spending more time with the actual people in his life?
Considering we're not his friends. We're not his friends, yes. He called while they were singing happy birthday to him. That's
that
insane.
Makes him happy.
So everybody else that wanted to try and call the Afro line over the holidays, that's why you couldn't get through. 323-520-AFRO. Now it's over. Four NFL football games this weekend.
Yeah.
Ralph's team out. My team out.
Yeah.
I don't even know who Mug's team is. Bean's the only guy with a team in it, Seattle.
Yeah. Chip's out. Dave's out.
Yeah. So we're going to talk to RJ Bell in Las Vegas, find out what's happening in the divisional playoffs. Two games Saturday, two games Sunday, coming up just after the top of the hour.
First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Hope the Seahawks implode.
Or win back-to-back Super Bowl championships.
No, not over that at all. Just implode.
It seems like it has to be one or the other.
Yes.
Can't be both.
I don't know. I don't get why you don't like them. There are some teams I can see why people hate. I don't see what there is to hate about the Seahawks, because they seem like pretty good guys. They don't have a lot of dicks on the team.
Except their head coach.
What's wrong with Pete Carroll?
Pete Carroll's a dick.
You think so?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Chews a lot of gum. I know that.
He does. He likes chewing gum.
My God, that guy chews gum.
Yeah. I'm pulling for the Packers. I'd like to see Aaron Rodgers go all the way this year.
All right.
Packers-Broncos would be the Super Bowl I'd like to watch.
I'm hoping for Seahawks-Patriots. That's what I'd like to see.
Oh, please. Really? Do we need the Patriots in the Super Bowl again? Do we need to watch them in the Super Bowl?
It would be fun to beat them.
No, we want to watch Peyton Manning versus Aaron Rodgers. Two classic legendary quarterbacks battling.
Well, there's some good teams left, so I'm excited about this weekend.
Except for the Seahawks.
Especially the Seahawks.
Except for them. Several books have been written about the Ramones, one of the most influential rock bands in the history of the medium.
Ooh.
But the latest, I believe, has to be the greatest. It's by drummer Marky Ramone. It's called Punk Rock Blitzkrieg, My Life as a Ramone, and the stories that he tells are fascinating. Markey replaced Tommy Ramone, who decided to work behind the glass in the studio as a producer for the band, mainly because Johnny and Dee Dee bullied him so much in the band. That's why he dropped out. Markey writes that Joey Ramone didn't shower very often and often ate food that was weeks past its expiration date.
Bean!
Just add some chocolate to that sour milk and it's delicious.
Who knew Bean was so punk rock?
That's right. Joey had such horrible OCD, writes Markey, that sometimes he had to go up and down the same staircase 20 times or more in a row.
Oh.
Wow.
Meanwhile, Johnny Ramone, this is gonna blow your mind. Johnny Ramone was a Jew-hating, right-wing, ultra-conservative, according to Markey Ramone.
What?
Ultra-Republican conservative, worshipped Ronald Reagan. Would you think one of the Ramones would be a die-hard conservative?
No.
Anti-Semite?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Dee Dee was just a plain old heroin addict. But he also was a kleptomaniac, and toward the end of his life, an overweight bulimic. So he had it all, just all in one.
This band had everything.
One nice package.
What a party the Ramones
were. What the hell's going on over there, Ramones? So if you're a fan of the band, you'd like to know more about the weirdness behind the curtain, you can pick up his new book, Punk Rock Blitzkrieg, My Life as a Ramone. That sounds like there's a movie to be made right there.
No kidding.
Yeah, that right.
Band. Fascinating stuff. This is disturbing on many levels. Bill Cosby was performing his last show in Ontario, Canada last night, and he was heckled at his appearance by a man who stood up in the audience and yelled that Cosby was a rapist. That's when the crowd turned on him. Cosby asked the crowd not to respond. No, no, stop, he said. No clapping right now. That's all right. Patience. And the security came down and removed the man from the theater as the audience applauded. And one audience member yelled, "We love you," to Cosby up on the stage. Look, I can understand. I guess I really can't understand. But worst case scenario, an audience saying, "Look, I'm able to separate the man's work prior to this from what he's doing now." But to be in this day and age and know what we know or what we've heard, would you go to a Cosby show?
No. And to love him, you would have to discount every one of the...
Right. Every one of those accusations.
Every
right?
single accusation would have to be false for you to even be able to accept the fact.
Anyway, a woman was apparently leaving the theater at one point during the show, and Cosby stopped and asked, "Where are you going?" She said, "I'm going to the lobby to grab a drink." And Cosby responded, "You have to be careful about drinking around me," he said to the audience's much laughter and applause.
No.
That's creepy.
Yeah, it is kind of creepy. Yeah. And this is going to come as a shock to you, but Miley Cyrus might do some drugs.
What?
Yeah, I know. Can you imagine? Apparently there are photos in the British tabloid The London Sun featuring Miley next to a table filled with pot, rolling papers, a rolled-up dollar bill, and what they're calling a vial of white powder. What could that be with a rolled-up dollar bill and the vial of white powder?
I'm thinking.
Hmm.
I don't, can't.
Let me think. Salt? No, that wouldn't be it.
Baby powder?
Perhaps. Maybe she was diapering a baby with that rolled-up dollar bill.
Fantastic.
Pretty sleazy situation, people are calling it. She's already going into damage control, saying she doesn't know what was on that table.
Wasn't mine.
A lot of people were there. That was Kevin's response always. It's not me. I don't know.
Especially when it is.
And congratulations to Jessica Biel. They're not talking about it yet, but she was seen cruising around West Hollywood in a sweatshirt, black leggings, and a baby bump. Looks like Mrs. Justin Timberlake is indeed expecting their first child, so congratulations to those two. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays.
That kid is already more stylish than me.
Yeah, that's going to be a spectacular-looking kid, too. Celebrity birthdays today. Nina DeBrev is 26 years old today. Singer Dave Matthews is 48. Actor J.K. Simmons celebrates his 60th birthday. Just one of the best actors working. One of those
guys
is just always great in everything that he does. You know, character actor, doesn't star in much, although he's starring in the new film Whiplash in theaters now, which he is amazing in. But he's been around forever, you know, in Law and Order, and he was Juno's dad in the movie Juno. And he pops up from time to time in all kinds of great stuff. Oz, of course. And he's just, you're always happy to see him in a project because you know he's going to be good. And Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page celebrates his 71st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Every hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are giving you free tickets to see our good friend Dave Grohl and the band Foo Fighters at the Forum tomorrow night. This was the surprise show that they just put on sale a couple of days ago. It's already sold out, but you can win your tickets every hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we're doing it with a thing that we like to call the Kevin and Bean phrase that pays.
Better.
That actually sounded pretty good. Kevin, this hour, and we're only going to say it one time.
I'm going to say it twice.
You're going to say it twice.
I'm going to say it twice in a row, but only this one time this hour.
All right, so you're going to say it now, and then when the kids hear it, they pick up the phone and be the first caller through at 1-800-520-1067 once they hear this phrase of pace.
Don't trust anyone.
Again, please.
Don't trust anyone.
All right, that'll be between now and 8 a.m. When you hear it, you know what to do to win your Foo Fighters. RJ Bell, pregame.com, on the line from Las Vegas, Nevada. He wowed us in the regular season with a 26-13 winning percentage, picking professional football games. Now we're in the postseason. RJ, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
So I have not earned your trust yet at this point.
I'd say 67% is pretty damn good.
Seriously, you're an oracle, you're a miracle, you're all things that end in cull. We were blown away by you in the regular season, but now we're in the postseason. Now, tell me about this from a Las Vegas standpoint. What's different on the Strip when you start talking about postseason games?
Well, on one hand, there's more action. You get recreational guys that might bet a couple times during the year. But as you keep moving towards the Super Bowl, you simply get more and more people involved. And the Super Bowl is the culmination of that. We'll be talking about the color of the Gatorade. We'll be talking about how long the national anthem is.
Sure.
It is an event everyone wants to be a part of. But let's put out a cautionary message. You can't bet every game. If you're trying to win, listen, if you're playing like pizza money or money, hey, I'm going to go to a movie or I'm going to bet 10 bucks on this game, doesn't matter what you do. You can have fun with it. But if you're betting money that matters, remember, there's only four playoff games. There's no way the line is wrong on all four games.
Yeah.
So the only way to win is when the line is wrong. So be careful. We're going to be very selective here. We're going to give you one NFL game, and then we're going to have a little bonus best bet in the colleges.
Okay. Now, these, I would say that some of these matchups must make Las Vegas very happy because they're high-profile teams. I mean, look, this country has millions of Cowboys fans, millions of Packers fans, millions of Patriots fans, millions of Colts fans, Broncos fans. I mean, these are the teams you want to see in the postseason, right?
Yes, because the more general interest there is on the game, the more action there is on the game. And you see it in the Super Bowl all the time. When the Steelers play the Packers, two big teams, you get more handle. When you have the teams with less interest, you get less handle. So Vegas likes the bigger games. And that's really a conspiracy theory on the college side. They were talking about when it was TCU versus Ohio State for that last spot in the playoffs. A lot of people felt like the Buckeyes and the kind of crowd that they would bring not only to the game but the TV and the betting eventually was part of the reason they got picked to be in the playoffs.
Interesting. All right. One game from the NFL this weekend. Which one are you going to advise our listeners to put their money down on?
Let me just say, Saturday it's Ravens-Patriots and then Panthers-Seahawks. And Sunday it's Cowboys-Packers and Colts-Broncos.
Okay, so you want to just talk the game that is going to be our best bet?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to go with Denver, favored by 7. And most listeners throughout the season know I'm an underdog first guy. But, man, I think this is a rare occasion you look towards the favorite. The Colts got Andrew Luck. A lot of people like him. But keep in mind, the Colts are much better at home. During Andrew Luck's career, 21-5 at home, 14-12 on the road. Not near as good on the road. This season, the Colts played 3 playoff teams on the road. In the first half of those games, they were outscored by a combined 60 points. This is not a very good road team. Andrew Luck has carried the team, but otherwise, this roster is average at best. Now, you look at Denver, since the start of last season, they've won 27 games. That's impressive to start with. 25 of those 27 by a touchdown or more. 25 of 27. Wow. That's almost hard to believe. The defense for Denver has exceeded expectations. The running game has exceeded expectations. In fact, last six games, they have over 200 rush attempts. So when I talk to the Vegas guys, they're saying, man, we love the defense for Denver. Love their running. My question is Peyton Manning. To me, if Peyton Manning's your problem, you don't really have that bad problem.
Yeah, true.
So we're going to go with our best bet, Denver laying the touchdown.
And let's face it, Peyton is a guy who is great in the playoffs too, right? Even though he did not have a spectacular last month of the season, it's playoff time now, and that's all. It's all new, right?
Well, I tell you, you've got different feelings on that. If you look at just the stats and say, you know, how many yards is he throwing for, you're going to, hey, he's had great stats or really good stats in the postseason. But if you look at the wins and losses, think back to those Colts teams. And, you know, oftentimes they were 15-1, 14-2 with disappointing losses, oftentimes to New England and Tom Brady. So if you had a macro narrative for Peyton Manning, it would be the best regular season quarterback of all time, but questions in the postseason.
Very interesting. All right, RJ. So that's going to be the Denver pick then for the NFL. Now let's talk about college football. First of all, before we talk about the game, Ohio State versus Oregon on Monday, were you pleased enough with the way it worked out this year with, you know, the realignment of the college championship brackets?
I got to tell you, it exceeded expectations. One, the Tuesday when they were releasing in the second half of the year who was ranked where as we went through the season, just got a ton of attention. Twitter is a great place where you can get instant feedback. When I was tweeting out the Vegas rankings versus the playoff committee rankings, I got more attention from that than maybe anything this year, which is a sign. Well, anything except my run on Kevin and Bean.
Sure.
But it's a sign, and really that's true. The run are winning. Your fans throughout the holidays when you guys were away, I would say half the tweets I got was guys asking for picks, even though Kevin and Bean were on vacation.
Yeah, we may have to start working over the holidays, Kevin.
I don't want to ruin the holidays for you now.
Our listeners needed to pay rent, though. That's the difference.
The end of the month was coming up.
A lot of pressure.
But the fact is, a lot of attention. And when I talked to the guys this weekend after the semifinals on January 1, they said that the action on January 1 was up about 25%. And here's what I really found interesting. They said a lot of people were coming making $10 and $20 bets because they just wanted to be a part of this. And that is something you see for the Super Bowl, but you really don't see it on any other event. So the fact that this the playoffs started getting people to just want a little something on it as a conversation topic, I think is a really good sign for college football.
All right. Oregon has been favored every single game this season. They're going to be playing for the national championship against your alma mater, Ohio State. What do we need to look for? What do we need to know?
And remember, I'm never betting with my heart. If anything, I like to do an emotional hedge, I call it. If I really care about a game, I'll throw 200 on the other side, figuring I either got a really nice steak dinner or my team's going to win. But that said, best bet of the week, and this is even bigger than the professional bet we had on the Broncos, is Ohio State. The pros here in Vegas are pounding the Buckeyes. You've got a perfect storm with Oregon of public love because they're a very offensive team and the public loves offense. They're football sexy is what I call them. And then you look at the fact they just destroyed the defending national champions, Florida State, who haven't lost a game in 2 years. So everyone's looking at Oregon to roll. But the fact is Ohio State is probably almost as good as them. And if you're almost as good on a neutral field and you're getting 6 points, that's the definition of value. Best bet of the week, the Buckeyes.
All right, so Broncos and Buckeyes. That's what you're getting from our friend RJ Bell this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, the founder of pregame.com, where there's, I mean, you, it's like going into a wormhole to get on your website because you click here, you click there, the next thing you know, an hour's gone by. It's everything on every sport. Great stuff. Pregame.com and follow RJ on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. We'll do it again next week, sir. Thanks for the time.
Good to be back, guys. Thank you.
Congratulations to Adrienne Corona. Didn't think I was going to get through that.
It's probably Adrian, by the way.
Fine. I thought it was Adriana. That's why I pronounced it that way. Adrian Corona from Palmdale just won tickets to Shaun White's Air and Style February 21 and 22 at the Rose Bowl and a pair of lift tickets to Bear Mountain. Your chance to win coming up.
Maybe you shouldn't read things on the radio.
I feel like I do it pretty well.
Okay. Hey, Maggie Grace is in that Taken 3. Pardon me, don't you know? We'll talk to her in about 50 minutes on K-Rock. First, though, a new Bigfoot sighting just in time for the new year, you guys.
Aw, Bigfoot.
Sure, I've been a lot of Bigfoot sightings over the years, and every once in a while we'll have Joe Rogan on, and he, you know, he even did a TV show about it, going out with people who believe that there's a Bigfoot. There's been lots and lots of photos, but no actual hard evidence. There's never been any DNA. They've never found a body or anything like that. Well, this photo is unusual in that it is very clear. This is not just some sort of a blurry image in the woods. I mean, this is a clear picture of something that looks huge and kind of looks like what? Like a giant gorilla, right?
Yeah.
His name is John Rodriguez, the man who took the photo. He mailed it into the Huffington Post. He is a 66-year-old retired electrician. Says that he took the photo while he was fishing near Tampa, Florida, the day after Christmas. Here's a little bit of HuffPost report.
Bigfoot has been the subject of debate for years, and it's back again, this time here in Hillsborough County.
Has a mythical creature made its home in Hillsborough County?
I looked at this picture and I went, hmm.
Lee Spiegel with the Huffington Post says it's a possibility.
From the very beginning, he has not given the impression that he's looking for any kind of publicity.
A local fisherman, John Rodriguez, emailed Spiegel these pictures and his story.
I don't think at this point that the guy is lying.
Well, let's see what we think. Mr. Rodriguez is on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, John. Thanks for coming on today. Hello, Mr. Rodriguez?
John?
What's happening here? Hello?
John. Is this John Rodriguez?
No. Who's this?
It's Kevin and Bean. We're talking to the fisherman who took the photo of Bigfoot.
What is this thing?
What is this thing?
Hello?
Telephone?
You talk about the phone?
Somebody in there?
Can you hear us?
Hello? Yeah, yes. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes. We can hear you fine. You're talking to us on the phone.
Yeah, a phone? Is that what you call this?
Well, yeah, it's a telephone.
Oh, cool.
Who's this?
Oh, I'm Bigfoot.
Okay. And you just happened to be near a phone?
No, there was a guy here who was holding this thing, and then it rang.
Oh,
and
I see.
Was like, and he's like, and he dropped it.
Okay.
So I picked it up, and then I heard your voice, so I wanted to, you know, I didn't want to be rude, so I said hello.
Nice. That's nice.
It's very nice. All right, so that guy, John Rodriguez, I assume, he's the guy who took the photo of you in the woods the day after Christmas.
Yeah, pervert.
What do you mean, pervert?
I was taking a bath in the river, and he comes up, starts taking pictures of me, pervert.
Well, I don't think it was, I mean, it wasn't sexual. I mean, I think he was just surprised.
How do you know? How do you know what it was?
How do you know, Bean?
There was some guy taking pictures of you in the shower. He's like, hey, yeah, baby, taking pictures. What would you think? A little creepy. Is that a little creepy?
Actually, yeah. Yeah. Would you make it sound like that, yeah.
All right, then. So don't tell me what I know. I was the one in the taking a bath.
Okay.
The guy taking a picture of me. I know what it was.
All right, I apologize.
All right,
So it goes without saying, Bigfoot, that this photo was not photoshopped and that you are, in fact, real.
I am. I can say 100% that I am real, yes.
Okay. Are you the only one of your kind?
Oh, no, there's a bunch of us. There's Alan, Ira, Steve, Lou. Lou moved. He's not around anymore, really.
Oh, so all those others are in the Florida area?
All the Florida region, yeah. We're sort of like a club.
I see. Okay.
I'm surprised that so many of the photos over the decades have been blurry and from a great distance, yet this photo seems to be so crystal clear and up close.
Well, you know, he wouldn't have caught me so close if I hadn't been bathing.
I see.
You know, sometimes you're in the bath and you know, you just lose yourself. You drift off. You start thinking about other things.
Uh-huh. Right.
And, I wasn't as alert as I should have been.
Why do you and the other Bigfoots hide? Why don't you just come out into the open and let people have a good look at you?
Well, look at what it is. You get a picture of me bathing, and there's all this publicity and stuff.
Well, I mean, it's more because it's never been proven once. If it was proven once, I think people would lose some interest in that.
Well, we're very private people, and we want to be just left alone. We don't want to have to deal with the, you know, news people and gawkers and all these people trying to interview us, and then who knows what the government will want to do, cut us open and look into us. I mean, look what they did to my daughter. Look what they did to her.
Your daughter?
Yeah, Khloe Kardashian. I mean, that girl can't get a moment's peace. I try to talk to her mom, and I say, Chris, you know, what are you doing to our daughter? And she doesn't listen. So I don't want to end up like Khloe did. You know,
I guess I can see that.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Is John still alive, or?
I don't know. He just took off running. I don't know where he is, and frankly, I don't care because I think he's a rude, rude man who takes pictures of Bigfoots while they are nude bathing.
Well, I can't believe that we've not only proved Bigfoot exists today, but we found out that he speaks English. So this is a real treat for us. Thank you, sir.
Of course I speak English. What do you think? I'm some kind of foreigner?
Well, no, but you're an animal.
I'm from Florida, for God's sake.
That's our point. I mean,
we are always pleased to talk to actress Maggie Grace. We have her on the phone this morning. Taken 3, of course, opens up this weekend. It is highly anticipated, and I'm worried that we might have gotten Maggie in some trouble here this morning. I'm worried that the mean TSA guys were yelling at her because she was on the phone waiting to talk to us. What's the scene down there at the airport, Maggie?
Hey, guys. Reporting live from LAX. For you. You know, America's finest TSA were on their game today, and they were very polite, and I was happy to forfeit some, you know, some liquid.
So we're some liquid. Oh, I see. And we were supposed to talk to you, but you had to give them your phone as well.
Yeah.
About 5 minutes ago.
I literally, got through security and snatched it off the conveyor belt when you guys called. So.
That is hilarious.
Well, how have you been? We haven't talked to you in a while. What's going on?
I've been traveling. We shot Taken 3 all over the place this year. We were in Spain and France for a while, and then we kept a lot of it home this time, which was awesome, in Atlanta and L.A.
I was reading some of your background. When you were younger, you were described yourself as a Shakespeare nerd, sort of a weird, not super athletic, sort of not, you would have never pictured that you would become a part of a big action series.
You know, it's ironic. It's an awesome irony. But, yeah, I was not the most athletic kid, but I loved drama club. So it's ironic that, you know, sometimes you'll go weeks without saying a line, but you'll be running in every take. So I never knew I'd become a professional runner.
Now, I know that there are people associated with the movie, including your movie dad, Liam Neeson, who really were a little bit resistant to the idea of doing another Taken movie. They kind of really had to come up with something different for you guys to all get back on board, right? I'm sorry, say again, Maggie?
This poor Mills family just couldn't go on vacation. Luckily, in Taken 3, no one gets taken or retaken.
Yeah,
but the writers came up with this really incredible story, and it's pretty intense.
It's a bad family. I don't want to be a member of that family.
I know, right?
Yeah, they
Daddy,
definitely should.
Daddy, can we go on spring break?
No way.
What is it like, and I'm sorry that this is such a geek question, Maggie, but what's it like being friends with Liam Neeson?
Well, he's a really good friend. He's a dear friend. He's very thoughtful and remembers everything. He's got a really wacky sense of humor, which I think is my favorite thing.
I would not consider him wacky.
And then if you need him to, you know, rough somebody up for you, at least verbally, you know, he's the most intimidating voice in the world.
Yeah,
he has a great voice. Now, is the story true, or did somebody make it up that you had him call a boy that you had just broken up with, or he had broken up with you or something, and intimidate the F out of him on the phone?
It was a bit of silliness. It was kind of, you know, this sweet kid was just a hot mess. But I was pretty heartbroken, and Liam was bummed on my behalf, I think. And he was like, let's set this kid straight. And, you know, a few of us were in on it. And I can't imagine what getting that call was like.
So Liam called this guy and did the whole thing about, I've got the particular set of skills, and I'm coming after you, and I'm your nightmare. He did all of that?
Tailored to the boy, yeah.
Oh my God! Can you imagine, Kevin?
No, I would have peed myself immediately.
He may have wet himself.
Yep.
Everyone in his office was like running in on speakerphone. It was maybe the funniest moment of the year.
That is hilarious. All right, Maggie Grace is on the phone. The film is called Taken 3. It's open up everywhere. By now, I think people know the quality and the caliber of these films. But just in case you need to be sucked in one more time, listen to this.
Listen carefully, kid. Something terrible's happened to your mom.
Dad, what's going on?
Don't trust anyone. What do you know?
What I know is soon everyone you love will be dead.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to finish this.
If you go down this road, the LAPD, the FBI, CIA, they'll find you. And they'll stop you. Good luck.
Come on.
Come on. Come on. We're in.
Come on.
We're giving you our money right now, Maggie.
It's awesome. It's, yeah, it's Liam kicking butt. But my favorite part was there's a fight between a Porsche and a jet plane.
I'm sorry. I thought you said a Porsche and a jet plane.
Yeah. Who would your money be on?
That's awesome.
They're in a fight. They're mad.
That is awesome. All right, listen, we'll let you get to your gate. I hope you're flying off someplace fun right now. But thank you so much for jumping on the phone with us at LAX. We really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. You're always so sweet to me.
Thank you,
Maggie. You bet. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much, Maggie.
About the movie.
Yeah, me too. I'm in. All right, how about, what do you think about line one here, Mr. Kevin?
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Hey, we're good. What's your name?
Leonard.
You're calling because? Because
I don't trust anyone.
Yeah, face it pays.
Nicely done.
Well done, sir. We would like to send you, if you'll go, to the Forum tomorrow night for free Foo Fighters. How about that?
Absolutely. I've never seen them, and it's my favorite band.
You've never seen them? They're so great.
And they're your favorite band. This is awesome. I'm so glad you won, Leonard. Have a great, great weekend. Thanks so much for listening to the Kevin Bean Show. We got a new phrase that pays. We'll announce just after 8 o'clock. We got tickets for you every hour this morning right here on K-Rock.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 7:52.
The most fun of all the TV awards shows is Sunday night. It is the Golden Globes, and we'll talk about it with our friend from TV Guide, Mike Schneider, coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
Remind folks, tonight at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I return with Hollywood Babylon for the first time in 2015.
No.
Our first Babylon at the Improv. We'll have you come down and see us at 10 p.m. tonight. Me and Kevin making fun of people who are richer, better looking, and more famous and talented than we are.
No, no, no.
Go to improv.com for more details and get your tickets. We'd love to see you come out.
Yeah! Hot buns on the morning. What's going on? Hot buns on the morning. Gonna have some fun.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
What?
Miley Cyrus doing drugs. Shocked. Hot fudge. Holy moly. She does drugs?
How do we know this?
Well, British tabloid The London Sun features a big photo layout of Miley next to a table filled with pot, rolling papers, rolled up dollar bills, and vials of white powder. Well, at least she's diversifying. Before, it used to be just pot. Now she's moving on.
Well, you're jumping to a lot of conclusions there, Mr. Narc. I mean, maybe it was just an item she got together for a scavenger hunt or something. You don't know, man.
I'm sorry. Hold on one second. Those might have been items she got together for a scavenger hunt. Yeah. That's your guess.
You want to take another run at that?
Yeah, you want to try again?
I'm just saying you automatically assume that she's using those for nefarious reasons. We don't know, man. Could be a science experiment.
Okay, let me get this. So, scavenger hunt or science experiment?
Unlikely? Is that what you're saying?
Versus drug use. Those are your... Oh, look.
All right, let me ask you this question. Are any of the photos of her doing it, or are they just in the room?
Doing it, man. Yeah, she's doing it.
No, I mean using the drugs.
No.
Okay.
No actual usage as far as I know. Mr. Defense Attorney.
Could be a scavenger hunt.
Could be a scavenger hunt. Yeah. Sad news. One of my favorites. Australian-born actor Rod Taylor has passed away. This guy was one of those actors out of the 60s and 70s who was just the definition of masculinity. Alfred Hitchcock used him in the classic film The Birds. He was also, of course, the lead in the legendary Time Machine, based on the book by H.G. Wells. He was Winston Churchill in Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Basterds. He was the voice of Pongo in Disney's 101 Dalmatians. He's
the man who invented Booyah!
No, that wasn't him at all. You're thinking of the wrong guy. He passed away this week at the age of 84. Years old.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember.
No, he didn't have a wooden hand. He's just an actor who was great, turned in a lot of great performances throughout the 60s and 70s, and needed a bunch of TV stuff in the 80s as well. So you guys are way wrong about it. But I'm sad to hear of his passing. Kylie Jenner continues to be obsessed with lip injections, if you look at the photos in Style and Life and Style magazine. If you look at the timeline of her face over the past 2 years, it's amazing how much her face has changed.
Really? Wait, how old is she?
17 years old, Kevin. How can a 17-year-old girl become obsessed with plastic surgery and lip injections? I mean, how can that happen?
No, but I mean...
To a minor? You wouldn't even be possible. You wouldn't think... Oh, wait a minute. Mom Chris apparently is behind this and is helping her and taking her to the doctor and signing off on all the procedures.
By the way, isn't she super pretty, like, the way she is?
She was.
I thought she was.
But she always thought her lips were too thin, and now she's reaching Farrah Abraham proportions when it comes to her lips.
So. I think those Farrah Abraham photos, man, should be enough to get anybody off of lip implants forever.
They're awesome. Love those photographs. She looks like the Twilight Zone episode where everybody's all freaking disfigured, but that's the norm. And congratulations. We now know that Chris Pine and Anna Kendrick are dating. They are a hot couple, according to Star Magazine. They met on the set of Into the Woods. They've been dating since 2013, sort of under the radar. And now they've gone public with their relationship. And I think they're both charming and lovely and talented people, and I'm happy to see
them. I feel like they should be dating.
They should.
I like it.
They're a good couple, and I hope it all works out. You were mentioning the Golden Globe Awards, which, of course, are this Sunday. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler will be hosting. A few of the presenters have been announced. Jane Fonda will be on hand. Bryan Cranston, Meryl Streep, and Vince Vaughn will be several of the award presenters. Tina Fey said yesterday there will be Bill Cosby jokes. So we have that checked off. That'll be happening, of course. And tributes to many of the celebrities who have passed away this year, including James Garner, Robin Williams, Lauren Bacall, Mickey Rooney, will all be happening at the affair thrown by the Hollywood Foreign Press. So, a lot to look forward to on Sunday. A lot of drunk celebrities.
Yeah. And by the way,
they do let them drink.
Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, right? That's all you need. They're great hosts.
Yes.
Yes.
They did a good job last time. Today's celebrity birthdays. These stars were all born on today, the 9th of January. Legendary Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page is 71 years old today. Character actor extraordinaire J.K. Simmons is 60 years old today. I think it was Beer Mugger pointed out after I talked about him in the last Showbiz Beat. He's also the lead in those farmer insurance commercials, which are very funny.
All right.
Dave Matthews, 48 years old today, and actress Nina Dobrev celebrates her 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
It was kind of a surprise to us when we came in this morning. Dave said, you guys have tickets for Foo Fighters at the Forum tomorrow night that you can give away every single hour. So we said, damn, we're in. And we're doing it with a little thing that we like to call the Kevin and Bean Phrase That Pays. I think we're finally starting to get the hang of that, by the way.
Pretty good delivery. Yeah.
So every hour this morning on the show, we tell you about this time in the hour, what the phrase that pays is, and then when you hear it later in the hour, you pick up the phone and be the first person calling at 1-800-520-1067. Not now, but when you hear the phrase that pays later this hour, call and win your Foo Fighters tickets. Kevin, what is this hour's phrase that pays?
What's the first rule of Fight Club?
Again, please.
What's the first rule of Fight Club?
All right, when you hear that later this hour, you know what to do when you're weighing into Foo Fighters. Golden Globes, Sunday night on the TV. Couldn't ask for a better guy to talk to about the program than our old friend Michael Snyder from TV Guide, who joins us in studio right now. Hey, Mike.
Hey. Now, if I say the phrase that pays, nope. Do I get the tickets?
Nope.
That's not how it works.
You do not, unfortunately.
And that would hose us if all of a sudden Michael just started saying the phrase that pays.
That would be pretty funny.
And I win with a sticker and stick with a winner? That's how it works.
We are, in fact, reaching the beaches and ruling the schools, Michael. Right. We're doing all of those things. Let's talk about the Golden Globes. I was saying in Ralph Showbiz Beat a few minutes ago that I think it's the most fun of all the award shows. You're in the business. Do you agree? Does the industry feel that way too?
Yeah, well, quite simply, they're allowed to drink. They're sitting around at tables. They're getting sauced up throughout. And so you have some great moments, especially toward the end of the show, where they're starting to slur their words a little bit. They're stumbling on stage and they're having fun. It's a party. And what's great is the after parties are all there at the Beverly Hilton too. So people are just partying all night. It's a fun vibe. And it's not as stuffy, and people aren't as bummed if they don't win either, because it's still just the Globes. It's not the Oscars or Emmys.
Yeah, that's my other question. Is it a prestigious award to even win the Golden Globes? And of course, it never hurts to win an award, but does it mean anything?
It's not the same as one of the big ones, but I think it means more than it used to now that people sort of look at it as sort of the first step in maybe winning an Oscar or winning an Emmy. So it's not bad to have it in your corner. And for some shows that are never going to get an Emmy or some movies that are never going to get an Oscar, at least they can say, well, we won a Globe.
Yeah.
Something.
I guess I can see that.
Now, you mostly cover TV, of course, with TV Guide, but I know you're a big movie fan as well. How did you feel about 2014 as a movie year?
You know, it seems like it was the return to more indie movies, which is fine to some degree. I was a big Boyhood fan, and I think that's a movie that's probably going to pick up a lot of stuff, including the Oscar. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Eller Coltrane's coming in to see us next hour, Michael.
Oh, I mean, that guy was great, right? I mean, and to talk about just a genius idea to be following that kid from the age of 7 up until 18. I mean, that's just inspired filmmaking. So that was great.
That is one of the nominees for the Best Motion Picture Drama, along with Foxcatcher, The Imitation Game, Selma, and The Theory of Everything. I love that they have a drama category and a comedy category.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, it'd be nice if the Oscars would do as well, just because there are so many movies. And you know, the Oscars keep expanding the number of movies that are nominated, but you still don't get a lot of comedies in there, or animated movies for that matter, too, which is why they have a separate animated movies category in the Oscars. But, you know, a lot of movies still aren't recognized, and maybe they should do that. I don't know.
In the comedy or musical category for the Golden Globes this weekend, it's going to be Birdman, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Into the Woods, Pride, and St. Vincent. So a lot of very different kinds of movies.
Yeah, and some good movies. So definitely, if you haven't seen a lot of those, go check them out while you still can before the Oscars come.
What do you think about Tina Fey and Amy Poehler as your hosts?
They're great. I mean, you can't go wrong with those two. You just puts a smile on your face when you see them. I mean, they're sharp. They're off the cuff. They're a little sarcastic, but they're not overly rude. They are the perfect hosts. I could watch them host just about anything.
So they should just host all of the award shows.
They should host all the award shows.
Yeah. Kevin, they should host that dart championship that you like so much. I'd like to see them tackle that.
That's the Premier League of darts.
Now, are you a heavyweight enough to go to the Golden Globes, or will you be watching on TV with the rest of us schmucks?
I'll be working at the Globes, so I will be there. I'll be covering it, and then I'll be heading to some of the after parties as well. So I'll be there in the mix.
All right, let's talk about some TV, since the last time we had you in. It's funny, because there's no such thing as seasons anymore. I mean, I know that there are, but it does seem like year-round shows are coming and going, and it's harder than ever to keep track of what's on TV these days. I mean, every week something new seems to debut. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're absolutely right. It's just because every channel now is doing original programming, original scripted especially. So, you know, this winter now, we're already seeing a bunch of new launches. So this week, you know, you already had Agent Carter launch, you had Empire launch. Both of those shows did pretty well. And you've got a ton of other stuff coming, too. And then shows returning. So my DVR is already, you know, emitting some steam just because there's so much going on.
Yeah, there's no way to keep up with everything even that you want to keep up with.
No, there's some things that you just have to decide, you know what, I'm going to catch up with it later. I'm going to let it sort of, you know, collect on my DVR. Maybe I'll watch it on Netflix when it eventually streams or on VOD.
I'll watch it 14 hours in a row and be done.
Yeah.
This week I sat down, and this is a great thing to do with TV Guide, by the way, is you sit down because you lay it out for you what all the new shows are coming back. Because, like, I remembered to tape Girls this weekend, but I forgot Portlandia last night. You know, I remembered Archer, but then I might have forgotten the Golden Globes, you know? I mean, you really do need to have something in front of you when you sit down anymore. You just can't count on your own memory. You mentioned Empire. What did you think of that, Michael?
I actually kind of liked it. I mean, Terrence Howard is over the top, but then you had Taraji P. Henson, who's the real star of that show. She plays Cookie, the wife who's just out of prison and who now wants hers. You know, he had built a whole new music empire while she was in prison, and now she wants a stake in it. Now he's about to die, so he's got three young sons. One of whom's going to take over the empire, the business, and he's not sure which one, because he's got a strained relationship with all of them. So it's kind of a fun, soapy, Dynasty, King Lear kind of story. But the music's kind of strong, too. You know, Timbaland produced the music, and it's some fresh stuff, and at least it's not rehashed songs, covers, you know, things that you've heard over and over again.
And Fox needs a hit, right? They're in trouble this year versus a year ago.
Yeah, they don't have much right now going for them. Gotham's doing okay for them, but Empire opened really well the other night, so I think they're really excited.
What's going on
that.
With American Idol? Is it dead in the water?
It is what it is now, right? I mean, I think it does. It's sort of averaging about a 3 rating, which, you know, once upon a time it was averaging, you know, 15, 17 ratings. So it's just not the same anymore. But there's a core audience that still watches that show. It's pretty much the same as it ever was. J-Lo's back. Harry Connick Jr.'s back. So if you like that show, you're going to watch it. But I don't think they're expecting to get any new audience now for that.
Somebody told me yesterday that Glee is coming back tonight.
It's the final episodes of Glee. The last hurrah. But yeah, it's
we were
it's
shocked that
run.
It was still on the air.
I was shocked. I was like, what? That show's not gone?
Not a lot of people are watching it, so you're not the only one who's kind of shocked that it's coming back. But they're wrapping it up. So it's a lot of shows going away this spring. So Parks and Rec going away, Mad Men going away. It's kind of a sad time to see some of our favorites go.
We're talking to our friend Michael Snyder in studio on the Kevin Bean Show. He is the executive editor of TV Guide magazine. You can follow him on Twitter at Franklin Avenue. And I wanted to ask you about another one that debuted that I have some friends that loved it. I only watched about 20 minutes of it and could not get in with the vibe of Gallivant. It's a musical. It's a fairy tale musical.
That's another one that's kind of an acquired taste. I bet, Lisa, did you watch it?
I recorded it. I'm very excited
about it. Yeah, because I think that's your kind of show, too. It's also kind of over the top. It's a parody of those kind of, it's almost like Spamalot. It's a parody of those kind of movies and shows. The music is cheeky. It's a wink and a nod. There's some great guest casts. I mean, Weird Al's going to guest cast Bean.
That's why I started taping it, for a Weird Al hit.
Ricky Gervais is guesting. It's kind of fun. It is what it is. You're not expecting too much from it. I dug it. It's you got to be in the mood for that kind of show if you're just looking for something kind of fun and silly and campy. But, there's an audience for that.
All right. Let's take a quick break and come back. We got many more questions, many more shows, lots of TV. TV is our favorite thing in the whole wide world, Michael.
TV is good.
TV is really, really good. More with our guests right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Our friend Michael Snyder in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the executive editor of TV Guide magazine, Don't You Know. How long has TV Guide been around now, Michael?
I think 62 years now. Wow. 63 years.
So. It's amazing that you've managed to survive and make the transition to a world where we all have a TV guide on our TVs.
Yeah, well, it's more than just being a guide, though. It's all about sort of recommending and telling people what's on, what's worth watching, and that's what we do more than ever. And as you know, there's now so much. I think we're needed more than ever because we're going to tell you, okay, watch this one, DVR this one, skip this one.
What is the show that you guys have recommended against the most and gotten the most feedback? Like, people are like, how can you not like this show?
Against the most. That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I think for the most part, people gravitate toward the good stuff.
Feel like we all have shows, and I don't have one specific in mind where you go, this is so great, why doesn't everybody love it?
I think there are people out there who are still like fans of Two and a Half Men. That's not one we're necessarily going to recommend these days. But
I'm fine with that.
It's everyone's got their own taste. Comedy is tougher, too. I think comedy is subjective, so there may be things that we pan that other people really love, and vice versa. Things that we love that other people are like, it's just too weird for me. Yeah.
What do you think of the Adult Swim stuff? Like we love Eric Andre and shows like that.
I love that stuff. I mean, because it is just so weird. And also Comedy Bang Bang on IFC.
Awesome. I love
great.
Scott Aukerman so much. He's so funny.
Yeah, one of the great things is, they announced that, James Corden has taken over the Late Late Show on CBS in a couple of months, and Reggie Watts is going to be his band leader. And the second they announced that, I'm like, I'm in. Reggie Watts as a band leader is going to be nuts, and I can't wait to see what they do with that.
I'm really glad you let us into late night, because that was going to be the next topic up, because this is going to be a tremendous year of change to see David Letterman make way for Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
To see, as you mentioned, James Corden take over for Craig Ferguson, right?
Yeah, yeah.
To see Larry Wilmore take over for Stephen Colbert. I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff. What are your thoughts? How do you think we're going to be talking about these shows in a year?
Yeah, a lot of big change. I mean, I think we're all curious what Stephen Colbert is going to do, since we only really know the character that he played on the Colbert Report. So, we're going to finally get to see who this guy really is. And I think it's going to be elements of the guy that we saw on the Colbert Report. I think part of him was starting to seep through in the character he played. So that's going to be fun to see just who he actually is.
He's one of those guys that's super likable that I can't wait to see what he's going to do because I like him.
And just super smart. I'm looking forward to really intelligent conversations on that show, some really sort of sharp wit and some biting commentary on what's
like
going on in the world.
All that's
going
to go over my head. Yeah. But I'll still enjoy it.
I was looking at you, Kevin, and you're like, yeah, no, that's not what I'm looking for. But okay. We're still the same.
Face.
You're still on the same wavelength.
What a bummer.
Now, I didn't know much about Larry Wilmore until a piece I read recently. He's been involved in a lot of really good shows. I guess he does some consulting work for Black-ish. He was the creator of the Bernie Mac show.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's been working as a correspondent on The Daily Show. But a lot of people have high hopes, and a lot of people are delighted to see, finally, a minority in late night TV.
Oh yeah, and he's a great choice. I mean, he's smart, he's funny. Like you said, he was one of the creators of Black-ish, which is one of the best new shows on television this year. I mean, that's a funny show if you're not watching it on ABC on Wednesday nights. But yeah, he also created Bernie Mac. But also, he's done some great work, like you said, on The Daily Show. So this is going to be fun. It's going to be a different kind of show. But I think they're still going to tackle a lot of the same stuff that Colbert did. So a good companion to The Daily Show, I think.
Have you seen much of AMC's Better Call Saul, which is one that we're very excited about, and it now debuts in less than a month?
I've seen a little bit of it. I'm sworn to secrecy. I can't tell you much about it, but I can say that if you were a Breaking Bad fan, there's plenty to like about this new show. A lot of old characters that you missed, and for all of us who miss Breaking Bad, this is going to be a great way to kind of carry on the legacy.
What is a new show that's coming out that most of us haven't heard of that's great?
New show. Well, let me talk about a show that's coming back that some people have heard of, but we need to get more people watching The Americans on FX.
Oh, that's
yes.
So good.
Amen.
It's been off for like a year and a half.
It's coming back Wednesday, January 28 at 10 o'clock. They set up a season 3 that's going to be fantastic, where the Russians are going to start recruiting the daughter of these two spies. And that's going to make for some interesting family dynamics, and I can't wait to see what they do with that.
That is a great show.
Yeah. By the way, I would like to say that Americans did themselves no favors by not making season 2 available anywhere. I think you and I talked about this off air, Michael, that it wasn't available on demand. It wasn't available on Netflix. You couldn't go back and watch it on FX. I mean, it was just, I think they did an exclusive deal with Amazon or something.
Yeah. And I don't know the details on that. And I think, you know, usually when they get closer to launch, they start to make it available in more places. So I was
between seasons, you want to try to get people who missed it the first time around to kind of pick it up.
They're smart people at FX. So I would say keep checking their website and keep checking Hulu and some of the other services too. And I think they're going to give you a chance to catch up right before the show launches at the end of the month.
You and I have talked before about how Christian Slater is the kiss of death in every TV show.
Why is he on every failed show?
Sure, yeah. Does seem like
I do feel like he's had about 8 TV shows. I want to ask you about another guy who also appears to be cursed, and his name is Matthew Perry, who I see is coming back next month in another reboot of The Odd Couple.
The Odd Couple, yeah. You know, this is interesting because you're right. He's had many at bats in the past couple of years, playing mostly these curmudgeonly characters, and he's going to play another one on The Odd Couple. He's playing the Oscar character on that reboot. So, I mean, I gotta say, I think we've talked about this before too. There's a lot of reboots coming, a lot of remakes, and I'm torn. You know, sometimes a good remake actually is great. You can talk about Battlestar Galactica when that was rebooted. That was fantastic.
Fargo.
Better than the original Fargo. So, you know, I can't poo-poo on all remakes, but then sometimes you look and you're like, do we really need another Odd Couple? Do we? You know?
Well, if they do it well, I think there's enough people that haven't seen it.
Yeah, that's true. So that's true. So, you know, and it's a good supporting cast as well. Thomas Lennon's on it, and Yvette Nicole Brown, sorry, I was about to say someone else's name, from Community is on it. So good cast. So, you know, I'm optimistic. We'll see.
All right, we already have time for a couple more I wanted to ask you about. There's one that seems like it's getting a lot of good buzz, and I think it's a 90s flashback show, and it's on VH1. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Oh,
it's called Hindsight, maybe?
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to watch that one yet.
Okay, you haven't seen that one yet.
No.
How about MTV? How are they doing? I know their Awkward was a little bit of a hit. I know that one's coming back. How are they doing with new shows these days?
You know, they're doing pretty good. I mean, Teen Wolf is still a big hit for them, and they've got a couple of new ones coming on. So, you know, they're trying hard to get back into the scripted business, you know, because their reality stuff has also been kind of going up by the wayside. So it's, you know, we'll see.
All right, one more question for me, and that is, one of the pop culture phenomena of the last 6 months has been the podcast known as Serial.
Yeah.
I'm sure you listen to it, Michael.
I do.
You don't miss much. You know what it is, right, Kevin?
No.
Yeah, it's a 12-part...
Here's what I know. You've told me before what it is, and I don't know.
It's a 12-part reinvestigation into a murder case where a guy was convicted for killing a woman back in 1999, and he's in prison. And this NPR reporter decided to kind of reopen the case and go back and talk to as many people involved as she could, to the police, to members of the jury, to the guy who's behind bars, and re-examine the evidence because a lot of people thought that he was probably innocent. And it just became a sensation. Millions of people across the country listened to it. And the reason I bring that up here is to say, Michael, TV is famous for seeing something that works and figuring out a way to duplicate it. Is there any lesson there that can be used and turned into good television?
Well, you know, it's funny. The Investigation Discovery Channel that does all the murder shows, they just announced yesterday they're doing their own true crime podcast. But, you know, there are a lot of shows on TV that already do these kind of things, 48 Hours and Dateline NBC. And so, you know, some of that's already going on. But, you know, it's you know, just a good serialized story that you kind of embrace and you get excited about week after week. That's something TV does very well. You know, remember last year, True Detective, week after week, yep. We were like, what is going on with this show? Can't wait to see next week's episode.
But unfortunately, the writers didn't know what was going on, so there was no way for us to ever find out.
Well, the other interesting thing is the debate, the ongoing debate about, you know, how Netflix drops all of their shows all at once versus is it better to stretch it out over weeks and months so that we have that water cooler conversation. It's not the same when
I like the anticipation.
Yeah, and you're talking about it and you're kind of speculating. If all the episodes are already up, you can't speculate about how it's going to end. Well, just go watch it. It's already there for you. But if it's sort of drawn out week after week and people are talking about it, even if you're disappointed in the end, there was a lot of fun leading up to it and sort of debating what's happening and what's going to go on next. So, and you've seen that a lot lately with great TV shows and even ones that ended on sour notes that people didn't appreciate. You know, a lot of people are debating over the end of The Affair on Showtime. Mm-hmm. But that was a fun show to watch week after week and wondering just where are they going with this. And even if people weren't satisfied with the end, it's coming back for season two.
We love The Walking Dead. That's coming back February
8th. Yes.
8th, I want to say. I love the CW. How am I going to want to watch iZombie?
Yeah, I think so. You like the CW?
I do, for the most part. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean,
I love Arrow.
Yeah, CW's doing a lot of great stuff. The 100 right now is fantastic.
Yep.
Jane the Virgin is a big new hit for them. So, yeah, definitely check out iZombie as well. It's very different. It's not at all The Walking Dead. It's campy. It's fun. It's it's more comedic. But definitely, you know, that genre is hot right now. Walking Dead can do no wrong. And, you know, if you're looking for a more CW take on the topic, definitely check out iZombie.
Kevin gets together with all the other 14-year-old girls and just watches whatever's on the CW that night.
I like the CW. I do.
Michael Schneider is the executive editor of TV Guide magazine, so you'll be, I imagine, along with the rest of the world, live tweeting from the Golden Globes on Sunday night?
I will. At Franklin Avenue is my handle.
Fantastic. Great to see you again, Mike. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
He is the star of the film Boyhood. Actor Eller Coltrane joins us in studio coming up after 9 o'clock this morning here on K-Rock. First, though, how about a brand new and the first for 2015 Internet Roundup?
Yo, K-Rock listeners around the world, it is time for the Internet Roundup, so tell all the boys and girls, we've got funny and sexy, even music too, we've got all the greatest videos and they're mostly on YouTube.
Your mouse up in the air like you just don't care?
I don't know.
Is that possible?
Possible.
All right.
I would be fine, by the way, if one of our New Year's resolutions was perhaps a new Internet Roundup.
No, I love that.
A year ago.
Love it.
Hey, Dave.
Yo.
Producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, the King of Mexico, puts the videos together for you at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. We know who Sophia Grace is from the Ellen Show, right?
I think so.
She's the little girl who went on and lip-synced to, like, Super Bass and songs like that. Well, now she's got her own rap video, and the only reason we're playing this is because a lot of people are saying she's really good for 11 years old. So I wanted you to hear a little bit of rapper Sophia Grace. Her song is called Best Friends.
Sounds like a good producer.
Hey, Bean, what happened to her friend? It used to be Sophia and someone else, and then some other little girl.
I think Sophia's going for it solo now, man.
I think they dropped her.
I think she ditched the entourage, is I think what happened.
They broke up.
Yeah, there are other parts of that song where you can actually hear her rapping. So Iggy Azalea, look out. You got somebody on your tail there, a little 11-year-old Sophia Grace. Brad Pitt made a little bit of news. He was at an awards ceremony about a week ago or so, and he tried to help the crowd understand how to pronounce an actor's name, a very difficult actor's name in a new movie that he's producing. And he actually turned it into a sing-along. It was pretty well done.
Oh, yellow, 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 oh, oh, yellow, oh.
Everybody. Oh, yellow, 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 whoa. Oh, yellow, whoa. Come on, people.
So that's how Brad Pitt has spent his time behind a microphone. We had that Internet Roundup video last year of which actor was it that was doing the alphabet aerobics? Do you remember, Dave?
It was Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe did it. That's right. On one of the late night shows. Well, here's a reporter who is warming up for a live shot on local TV. Her name is Kim, and she also does the same song and has every word memorized.
Let me live a long life, learn new lessons, learn land loss, and just lose to my livery. My mind makes marvelous move masses, marvel and move, many mock what a master. Newbie snatch, knowing I'm nice naturally. Knack never lack, make noise nationally. Operation opposition, off, not optional. Out of sight, out of mind, wide beaming opportunities. Perfect poem.
Reminds me of me.
The rest of us just go testing 1, 2, can you hear me? But that's what she does.
She's hot.
We got Comic-Con in San Diego. There's also New York Comic-Con, of course, every year that's getting bigger and bigger all the time. And this guy is a comic book geek. He loves Comic-Con so much, but he particularly loves it because it occurred to him at some point that he looks exactly like a real-life Peter Griffin from Family Guy. He's a big, fat guy wearing green pants, white shirt, little round glasses, does the voice, and just walks around. And he has the time of his life. He is a superstar. On the floor of the New York Comic Con. Listen up.
Batman. So what's new?
Not much. How's Chris?
He's doing all right.
And Meg?
Who cares? Bird. Bird's a well, bird.
He just loves it because 364 days of the year, he's just a fat guy, you know? And now Comic Con comes around. And he's a star. People are taking pictures. Here's a mashup that somebody did. I guess Chris Pratt, one of the stars of Parks and Recreation, is also going to be the star of the new Jurassic Park movie. Jurassic World is coming out.
Yeah.
So somebody edited together Parks and Recreation clips with Jurassic Park clips, and it came out pretty good.
Andy Dwyer, security, suites, body man, javelin, if need be.
We just went and made a new dinosaur?
Probably not a good idea.
I love that guy.
As you know, Taken 3 comes out this weekend. We talked to Maggie Grace last hour about that movie. Honest Trailers, our friends at Honest Trailers, decided to take a look at the first two Taken movies, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Suit up for movies that are all about kidnapping, where no one uses the word kidnapped.
They're going to take you.
She's been taken. There were people in the apartment, then she was taken.
Your mother and I are going to be taken.
In these high-octane spy thrillers that aren't as smart as Bourne or as cool as Bond, but feature way more beatdowns of guys who look like your Uber driver.
It's one of the best Honest Trailers in a while. Definitely check that one out. The Coachella 2015 lineup was announced this week, as you know. I don't know why Funny or Die decided to get Little John's perspective on the acts named, but here's what he came up with.
Gorgon City. That ain't a f***ing band. That's a city. I've been there once. It was the worst goddamn grilled cheese sandwich I ever had. And the milk was spoiled, too. And lumpy. Cloud nothing. Isn't that where you store your contacts on your iPhone? Cashmere Cat. I heard of that person. Milky Chance. Ain't that the diarrhea band?
Little John, maybe not too familiar with a lot of the bands on the Coachella bill. Dave, was it Jimmy Kimmel who did the pot quiz?
It was.
Now, why did he send people down to Venice to ask questions?
Because the state of Colorado was educating people on doing pot.
So he
wanted to see if Californians were educated.
All right, listen up. You'll love this.
What state is Jerry Brown the governor of?
I have no idea.
What band was Jerry Garcia the lead singer of?
The Grateful Dead, man.
What is a prime number?
I'd say 8. That seems pretty prime.
What is the 13th Amendment?
I don't know.
What is the first rule of Fight Club?
That you don't talk about Fight Club.
Yeah.
See, there's a direct correlation between the types of things they know and the types of things they don't know. And I do think they all had pot in common there. And finally, on this edition of the Kevin Media Internet Roundup, I think this is going to be in our top 10 videos at the end of the year for 2015. Don't you, Dave? This is Quentin Somerville. He is a BBC News reporter. And it looks like all he has to do is a few seconds of wraparound footage. He just needs to say a couple of lines to finish doing a package. But what's he standing in front of, Dave?
He's standing in front of a burning pile of heroin.
And this poor guy, and he looks like he's 65 years old. This poor guy is so freaking high that he cannot get the words out of his mouth.
Burning behind me is 8.5 tons of heroin, opium, hashish, and other narcotics. Burning behind me. Quick. Well, we just need one more.
That's great.
Especially since he's an old man. That's what's great about it. All right, let's go to line one real quick before we close this internet roundup up. K-Rock, hello.
Hi.
Who's this?
This is Raphael.
You're calling because?
Because I want to go see Foo Fighters tomorrow.
Yeah! You heard the phrase that pays, which is what's the first rule of Fight Club? Congratulations. You are the first person through. You have free tickets for Foo Fighters at the Forum tomorrow night. We'll have a brand new phrase that pays for you just after 9. You can win your tickets in the 9 o'clock hour. That is this edition of the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Those videos were awesome. Now, baby, go watch the Internet Roundup. Yeah!
Thank you, Lisa. It's the world famous K-Rock at 8:52. Ralph, just before Michael Snyder left, he told me he was disappointed that I had not given him a moment with you. He said, you've worked a whole week. How do you not have a moment with
him? Oh, that you haven't had a moment with
him?
We're all a little disappointed.
You are a little behind last year's pace. Remember how hot you were in January last year?
I do. Unfortunately, I do.
Lisa gave us one.
Lisa did give us one. That's true.
It's a minor one.
It's a tiny one, but it's tiding us over until I ruin things, right?
Exactly.
Hey. And now, a moment with Lisa May.
SCE presents a safety tick.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
I don't think that's minor at all, by the way. Safety tank, tank, tank.
I think she does good work. Actor Eller Coltrane joins us in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show after 9. He worked 39 days over 12 years to help make the movie Boyhood. We'll talk to him about that coming up. First, here's Ralph the Showbiz.
Same as Kevin. Kevin's worked 39 days over 12 years.
How dare you?
I got tickets!
Yay!
Holy moly, tickets to the K-Rock screening of Black Hat.
Yay!
It's happening on Tuesday, January the 13th at the Pacific Theaters at the Grove. This is the movie, of course, with Thor himself, Mr. Chris Hemsworth. This time he's playing a man who can help both the American and Chinese governments pursue a clever cyber criminal, and so he's released from prison in order to help those governments. Viola Davis also stars. Movies in theaters everywhere on the 16th of January, Friday. But you'll see it on the 13th if you're one of the lucky callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through, get a pair of passes to see the K-Rock screening of Black Hat.
Do you have to say it that way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sad news. Rod Taylor, one of the quintessential man's men of the 60s and 70s in motion pictures, has passed away at the age of 84 years old. Best known for starring in the 1960 sci-fi film The Time Machine, also in Alfred Hitchcock's classic film The Birds. More recently, he played Winston Churchill in Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Basterds. He was the voice of Pongo the dog in Disney's original 101 Dalmatians movie. And he'd been on television and shows like Hotel and Falcon Crest. He had a long, lucrative career, and he was a very talented guy. And he was a man's man and a drinker and a fighter and a guy. You laughing at Kevin. I'll fight you right now. Rod Taylor's honor. Miley Cyrus, pictures of her doing drugs in the London Sun-tipped British tabloid. The big table standing next to Miley, standing next to with pot and rolling papers and rolled up dollar bills and vials of white powder. Pretty sleazy situation, sources say. And she is, she's a free spirit. Did you hear the Schwarzenegger family, by the way, has told Patrick he won't get any of the family money if he ends up marrying Miley Cyrus?
Really?
That's the word on the street.
Wow.
That's a terrible thing to do.
That the Kennedy / Schwarzenegger family are not too thrilled about having the idea of Miley Cyrus entering their ranks.
Oh, they haven't had their share of embarrassing moments, that family.
You know, that whole getting shot thing? How embarrassing, huh?
No, but I mean, the whole family.
Schwarzenegger
impregnating the maid.
Right. Yeah.
But at least they were able to keep it out of the press for a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think they like to position themselves as having a little bit of class.
Yeah, I know, but
Miley doesn't necessarily position herself in that way. So it's like Patrick finds someone to marry up, I think is what they're looking for, Patrick.
Is he the one, is he the same one, Ralph? He's not the one that briefly dated Taylor Swift.
Yes, yeah.
Same one, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude's got bad taste.
He does. Really nice.
That's a bad 1-2 punch.
Sharpen up his aim. O.J. Simpson's having a tough time behind bars. National Enquirer's reporting that he had a relationship with a fellow inmate named Jasmina Jameson, who is coincidentally transsexual. And some of the more homophobic inmates did not appreciate that love connection. Insiders say because of that, he was jumped and wound up battered, bruised, and beaten. Could have been killed if he hadn't been discovered by guards and they pulled them off O.J. So O.J.'s having a difficult time behind bars. Just trying to find someone to spend the nights with and get beat up for it. Who needs that? Prisoners, stop it.
You're talking to all prisoners
now?
All
the prisoners. Come on, man. And Jennifer Lopez says she's unlucky in love, but it's not her fault. She just picks the wrong guys.
Okay. What, has she been married three times, four times?
Three times. So it's not her fault. She has no part in that.
So she doesn't do the picking?
She picks, but then, you know, after the truth is discovered, turns out these are all bad dudes who are just hiding their true natures from her. When she gets in the relationship, she finds out their lesser qualities.
I'm going to say if you've been married three times or more, it's at least partially on you.
I'm also going to say you want to back away from that tradition. Maybe it's not for you.
Right. One more thing.
I love you, Poppy. That's who she should pick next. Jennifer Lopez's next boyfriend should be Beer Mug. That would be awesome.
Wouldn't that be amazing if Beer Mug came in one day and said, guys, I'm leaving the show because I'm going to be Jennifer Lopez's boy toy.
There's a lot of toy there.
Mm-hmm.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page is 71 years old today. Actor J.K. Simmons celebrates his 60th birthday. Dave Matthews is 48 years old. And actress Nina Dobrev celebrates her 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. We promised you free tickets for Foo Fighters at the Forum tomorrow night. This is the surprise show that they just dropped on us a couple days ago. They put the tickets up on sale for Ticketmaster. They're already gone. But we're giving away one final pair on the Kevin and Bean Show this hour with something that we like to call the Kevin and Bean Phrase That Pays. I do feel like we're finally figuring that out now that we're done.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Kevin, what is the phrase that pays that our listeners will hear later this hour and be the first caller through to win their tickets for Foo Fighters?
I wish he'd hire me now.
I wish. Again, please.
I wish he'd hire me now.
All right. When you hear that later this hour, just call 1-800-520-1067. Be the first caller through, and you'll see Foo Fighters Saturday night. How about that Boyhood?
Yeah, how about that Boyhood?
How about that Boyhood? Still in select theaters, finally available just this week on DVD, Blu-ray, digital HD, video on demand. We could not be more excited to welcome the star of the film Boyhood, Eller Coltrane, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
We're just talking just briefly off air, and it was hard to contain ourselves to wait till we were broadcasting. But in the history of motion pictures, you're starring in a movie that's kind of one of a kind. Like, nothing like this has really ever been attempted before, right?
Yeah, not quite like this.
And I know you've been through the story a million times, but I'm just so fascinated how much you even remember about the early years of making this movie. When you're 6-7 years old and all of a sudden you're filming, I mean, do you even remember the early days of making Boyhood?
Yeah, not particularly. You know, the patches of memory start to come back more and more, you know, as I watch the movie and kind of talk, you know, kind of recount a lot of these memories and stuff. It's pretty hazy, and that's kind of one of the strangest parts of watching the movie, I guess, is how much of it I don't remember.
Right. You start at 6, you finish at 18?
Right? 19.
How did Richard Linklater even find you?
I went to an audition. I had been in a small, I just had a small part in this movie, Lone Star State of Mind, that was also filmed in Austin, and I think maybe one of Richard's producers or someone that he worked with had worked on that film and remembered me and I guess liked me from the set. and suggested that I come in. And
what were they looking? Did they
seven callbacks later?
Oh wow, that's a lot of pressure for.
Did they tell you
kid?
What they were looking for? What the project was going to be, or did you have any understanding at the time of?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that Richard can. He still can't really vocalize what he was looking for specifically, but I think just a connection more than anything. But yeah, I mean, I definitely. The concept of the project was always very upfront. You know, he always knew it was going to be 12 years and, you know, the idea of capturing people aging as opposed to using different actors or makeup or whatever was, that was always pretty upfront.
It's so funny though, because most directors or casting directors, they go and they look for somebody and they go, well, you know, he seems good. Let's see if he can sing. He seems good. Let's see if he can do fight scenes. They're looking to cast somebody. Let's imagine how he's going to be at 15 years old. That's what they're doing with you, which is impossible, of course. I mean, the whole, you know, success of this film kind of was on your shoulders a little bit as being the right kid to kind of grow up into the man that you have become. And of course, you couldn't have been aware of all that pressure at the time. That must have just been something they were sweating. But man, they must be so happy that it worked out the way it did.
I mean, Rick is pretty good at not sweating things. You know, he doesn't really
unique.
Doesn't really plan for the worst ever. But you know, I think. More than anything, we just hit it off. You know, we kind of think in a similar way, and I think that's what he saw.
When you were six, were they auditions, or were they just him trying to feel you out and see what kind of kid you were and what kind of adult you'd grow up to be?
Not really auditions in the traditional sense. You know, there weren't sides for me to read or anything like that. It was just kind of a conversation. You know, he had me bring in my art and asked me about movies and music and all kinds of things, and met my parents, obviously. You know, that was a big part of it.
Now, we mentioned a few minutes ago when we mentioned that you were coming on, Eller, that the movie only took 39 days to film, over 12 years. Does that sound accurate to you, about right?
Yeah, okay. I think that's the number, yeah.
Did you spend any kind of time with the other cast members when you weren't filming, or literally was it like seeing them one weekend a year?
Yeah, I mean, Patricia and Ethan, definitely. I mean, Ethan wasn't even in it every year, so it, you know,
Because he's a deadbeat dad.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's a pretty good dad. But you know, but yeah, I mean, yeah, he's not around as much as Patricia is. And I mean, you know, even Patricia, she was on Medium for most of that time, so she was pretty busy the rest of the year. But Richard and his daughter, Lorelai, who plays the sister character, they both live in Austin, so I saw them.
So you saw them.
Was there any point from age 6 to age 12 to age 15 where you thought, what are we doing, and is it ever going to become anything?
Right, yeah, I mean, you're always kind of wondering, like, what are we really
am
doing?
Am I being punked? You know,
yeah, I mean, I think there was a point where Richard started kind of preparing me for, like, you know, this is really meaningful for us, but no one else is going to care. And, you know, and that was kind of the scary part about being done with it, you know, is that it was so personal and such a, you know, such a wonderful kind of life project and an intimate, you know, experience. But it, you know, over the 12 years telling people about it, no one did care. You know, you start off saying, oh, I'm making this movie and Richard Linklater, and then you start to get into the concept and it's like their eyes glaze over and it's just kind of like, okay, what happens in the movie?
And
the answer is nothing.
That's
you know?
What's interesting in addition to the 12-year part is that it really doesn't have a plot.
Yeah.
Life. Yeah. It's just life. And that's what you walk away with. And I mean, my takeaway from the movie, Eller, was it's twofold. One is, man, it's tough being a kid. But I think even more than that was, man, it's tough being a parent. I mean, if I took any message away from it, it's that. It's that it's just hard being a human being and going through what human beings go through.
Yeah, that's one of the most meaningful parts to me. I mean, the relationship with the parents and just kind of how, you know, I didn't necessarily see this when I was filming it because it was, you know, so close to what was going on in my life at the, you know, at the moment. But watching it back now, you know, as I'm able to see the parents very sympathetically, which is hard. You know, it's hard to see your own parents as human beings when you're a teenager or a kid. It's not really possible.
Right.
But there's something really incredible about, you know, seeing these people who are flawed and, you know, all these things, but they obviously love their kids a lot and they're trying as hard as they can.
Do you have any – can you tell us why Richard decided to end the movie where he did? Because he certainly could have continued filming you until you were an old man.
Yeah. Well, first through 12th grade. I mean, that was always
the plan.
That was always his outline, I think, just kind of that.
Has there been any talk of revisiting you?
We get asked that a lot, and, you know, I don't know.
Have you started a 12-year sequel?
I would be. I think, you know, it's a little bit like talking about your next kid while you're still in labor, but I would be game.
I mean, kind of the only thing that I could ever compare it to was the documentary series of called Up. Remember the one where every 7 years they went and interviewed these same kids, and we, you know, watched them grow into adulthood. I mean, Richard has a history of sticking with projects, like with Ethan Hawke, with the Before and After Midnights and all those. I mean, he likes kind of revisiting his characters.
Yeah, it wouldn't be unheard of.
So maybe so. All right, we got to take a quick break. Eller Coltrane is here in the studio. He is the star of Boyhood, which is, I guess I don't have to tell people that it's the best-reviewed movie of 2014. It's out now, available. If you missed it in theaters, you can see it on DVD, Blu-ray, digital, HD, VOD. And, of course, it's up for some big awards at the Golden Globes this Sunday night, too. More with our guests right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. So, Sunday night are the Golden Globes, the film Boyhood. Its cast has been nominated for Outstanding Performance by Cast in a Motion Picture. It's been nominated for Best Picture in the Drama category, Best Director for Richard Linklater, Best Supporting Actor for Ethan Hawke, Best Supporting Actress Patricia Arquette, Best Screenplay Richard Linklater. Where are you, Eller? What up?
I don't know.
It's your movie, dude.
It's kind of a relief, to be honest.
Well, you certainly win if the movie wins. You win as being part of the outstanding performance by a cast. But we are talking about the film Boyhood that is available now for everybody. If you want to get it on DVD, Blu-ray, or digital HD, video on demand, it's still in select theaters as well. How much of this movie was scripted?
All of it. We never went on camera without a script. But there was definitely a lot of spontaneity, you know, I mean, a lot of the dialogue was written through kind of improvisation, and there certainly wasn't a script written at the beginning. You know, Richard would kind of come to us with the outlines of the scenes and we would sort of create the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times we were getting that final script, you know, an hour before filming, but we did always have, you know,
now,
written.
I'm not sure how to phrase this question, but are you kind of playing yourself a little bit, or every time you went in front of the camera when you knew you were filming Boyhood, did you have a character in mind? And the reason I ask it that way is to say, did you then have to think back to, hey, what was that character guy like 2 years ago, the last time I did it?
Yeah, I mean, it's very much both. You know, it's, you know, I mean, the character is a lot of me, but it's also very much Richard and very much Ethan, and, you know, it's a lot of the characters, a lot of different people, but there's a lot of me. So that did make it easy, you know, to find my place in the character. And also that, you know, that process I was just describing of kind of creating the scenes, and, you know, Richard would kind of come to us and ask us for all this input and, you know, experiences from our lives and our thoughts and feelings about things and, you know, kind of figuring out where those overlapped with, you know, the character. And so it was, you know, it was very organic to kind of get back into character.
Did you ever have a down period of your life where not much happened and you felt like, I need to do something
right
to keep it interesting?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I had a pretty low-key childhood.
You seem like a low-key guy.
Explosive. I get that a lot.
Which is fine, by the way. Nothing wrong with that. You seem at peace, and you seem calm, and you seem centered. I mean, look, I don't mean that in all a negative way, but it's so unusual, especially in your business. Are you still acting?
Yeah, I mean, every day, but I have not started a new film project yet. I've been getting some offers, though, so hopefully soon.
Now, speaking of that, I want to go back to something you said earlier, which is that Richard sort of prepared you for you guys are the only ones that were going to care about this project. And probably, was it a nice surprise to get the results and other people watch it and love it? Like, it
absolutely. I mean, it was a huge relief to, you know, I mean, from the first time that the audience stood and clapped, it was, you know, and then just, you know, more than that, the way, you know, the way people come up to us, and, you know, it's kind of, you know, scary to have someone you don't know come up to you, but it's, you know, people are so warm and the things that they express are so kind of genuine and such, like, beautiful emotions, you know, that it's really the greatest reward we could ask for.
Well, they get to spend so much time with you, with your character. I mean, they really do feel like, I mean, it sounds so corny to say they feel like they watched you grow up, but it seems like they've known you since you were a little boy, you know? So I guess it kind of makes sense that there'd be that closeness.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you watch the film, what's your favorite haircut? What's your least favorite haircut?
Because
you're all over the map, son.
Yeah. I don't know. I really liked the bangs, the
bangs on the one side.
Robert Smith,
Robert Smith inspired. You definitely went through some phases, didn't you?
Yeah. and I don't know. I mean, I like it all. It gets pretty messy towards the end there, I guess. But
were there any kind of instructions from Richard in between filming of what you were and weren't allowed to do with your body or with your hair?
The only time was really when the year when the stepdad forces Mason to get a haircut, they wanted me to grow it out, and so it would be long, so they could cut it off. That was the only time, really, that I was ever asked to do anything.
You'd have to call and go, "Hey, I want to get a tattoo on my face. Is that cool?"
Well, I mean, that
get a Tyson tattoo.
That would have been something else, but I didn't particularly want to do that.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. Well, it's so great that we got to meet you. I mean, obviously, like everybody, we love the movie, and you must feel like you have a second family now. I mean, that must be one of the great side effects of being involved in this project for as long as you kind of feel like, I imagine, Ethan and Patricia, are another mom and dad, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different kind of relationship, It's kind of easy. It's a lot easier than, real mom and dad.
Because they can't tell you what to do.
They can't tell me what to do, and you don't have all this, I haven't lived with them. It's but it is really nice, and it's, we became very close over the last 12 years, but the last 12 months we've seen each other, a lot, every week almost.
So you ever say, you're not my dad? To Ethan?
Well, not quite.
Okay. He's awesome, by the way.
He is awesome.
He's an exceptionally talented man.
Yeah, he's a hell of a guy.
Great stuff. Well, I'm so glad, like I say, we got a chance to meet you. Congratulations on the movie. We are all so happy for the success. And I hope you have a terrific time Sunday night at the Golden Globes.
Thank you.
And by the way, Jake Gyllenhaal, who listens to this program, we've talked to him many times over the years. I know he's a fan and listens when he can. Eller would like to shake your hand. So if you guys see each other from across the room at the Golden Globes, don't run out on him. Go say hi to him. All right, Jake?
I'll find him.
Thanks, Ella.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Marry me.
Kevin DeBean Show at 9:37.
You know, when he sings, you don't even realize he's wearing a fanny pack. It's just, it's so different.
Hey,
Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat for a Friday morning. Then we're going to sing that song, and then it's weekend time. Go Seahawks.
Hip pack, by the way.
Hip pack, not
fanny pack. That's right. Sorry, I said fanny
not
pack. I'm
fanny
sorry.
Pack.
That's the 20th century. Version.
That's right.
Death to Seahawks.
So, sad news as we kick off the Showbiz Beat. Rod Taylor, legendary macho actor, best known for his starring roles in the 60s films The Time Machine and, of course, Alfred Hitchcock's classic The Birds. He passed away this week at the age of 84 years old. He also played Winston Churchill in Tarantino's Inglourious Bastards. Worked his entire life, even on television. He was in Hotel, the TV series Falcon Crest. He was the voice of Pongo in Disney's 101 Dalmatians animated film. Had a long, long career, and by all accounts was a really good guy. So that's sad news. Also, historical news of someone passing this week. The guy, the legendary guy who booked the Beatles into the Cavern Club in Liverpool has died. This guy's name was Ray McFall, and he owned the club in Liverpool, this little club that was a jazz club, and he couldn't make any money. So he thought, there's all these teenage girls around who like these rock bands or something. If I could get a rock band and book them into my club, maybe I could get teenagers to spend money and buy tickets for my club.
He had no idea, did he?
So he found this little band called the Beatles and booked them into his club.
And how'd that work out for him, Ralph?
Pretty well. They showed up in droves. And, of course, it was the kickoff for the Beatles' career. He also hired another band called Rory Storm and the Hurricanes.
Less famous,
but their drummer was a guy named Ringo Starr.
Huh.
And that's where the Beatles met Ringo Starr, was at that club, and the rest is history. When asked for a comment, Ringo Starr said, "I wish he'd hire me now." Ringo's looking for work, apparently.
He does.
But sadly, Ray's dead and can't hire Ringo anymore. Singing of rock and roll, the Ramones. A lot of books have been written about the Ramones. The latest is perhaps the greatest. Drummer Marky Ramone has written a book called Punk Rock Blitzkrieg, My Life as a Ramone, and tells lots of stories about the bands, including the fact that Joey didn't like to shower very often and enjoyed eating food that was weeks past its expiration date. Had such horrible OCD that sometimes he'd go up and down the same staircase 20 times or more in a row.
Wow.
Johnny Ramone was, according to Marky, a right-wing ultra-conservative who hated Jews and worshipped Ronald Reagan. Dee Dee Ramone was a heroin addict, a kleptomaniac, and towards the end of his life, an overweight bulimic. So he really had all of it going on.
Wow.
Those were good times, those Ramones.
That book sounds like it's going to be, A, worth reading, and B, as you pointed out earlier, just ripe to be made into a motion picture.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with those guys. You know, we've been kidding Dave about this Glee fixation he's got. He can't.
Because he's the last person in America still watching it.
He can't stop.
But here's the thing.
He can't not watch Glee, even though he doesn't like it.
That's the point.
Right.
He doesn't really like
it. He's the last guy who still loves it and wants to watch it.
Doesn't really like it anymore, but can't stop.
Right. Can't. And he hasn't liked it for years, by the way. For seasons, he's hated it. Watches every episode.
We're like, why?
We're going to have to get into that next week. But I'm stunned, and you can say what you want about the show, but Dan, that Lea Michele, girl can sing.
Yeah?
They just released a video of the upcoming episode. The new season starts tonight, I think it is.
It is tonight.
She sings Let It Go from Frozen in the premiere episode. And I know we don't need to hear that song anymore, and we don't need to hear any more Glee-ified pop songs, but when you just hear this girl's voice, man, it's unreal.
Let it go.
Cold never bothered me anyway.
Idina Menzel can't hit that song, hit that note anymore. Adele Dazeem can't hit that note that she hits there. So
that was good.
That was real good stuff.
That was real good.
You know who else is a real good singer? Willow Smith. Willow Smith, she can. This
I'm
girl
sorry.
Can sing.
I'm sorry?
Willow Smith can sing.
Is she whipping her hair back and forth?
She whipped her hair back and forth, but now she's also hydrogen.
What does that mean?
That means she is creating stars and planets and galaxies while you're stuck on Earth.
It's Will Smith and Jada Smith, right? They're kids.
Their kid, Willow.
Okay.
Is hydrogen.
She's hydrogen.
Yes. What's wrong with you? Don't you understand that?
No.
Her new song, Heart, celebrates the end of the chaotic time and talks about the construction of the stars. You don't get it, man.
I don't get it.
Here's a little taste of her new song.
I don't think it's fair that you're on
Where's the real clip?
Oh, my God.
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's hot. Yeah. It's tight.
It is tight.
It's a hit, man, and I like it.
Yep.
I'm going to go get it.
Yep.
That's a keeper right
That's
there.
A keeper.
That is... What's going on in that song?
What's happening?
She is hydrogen.
She's not singing.
She's making the stars and planets.
Damn, that girl is tight.
Unbelievable.
You don't get it, man.
I don't.
You're part
tight!
You're part of the chaotic times. That's why. You don't know.
I don't even know what that is.
Boy. Boy, is Bjork sweating right now.
She's feeling the heat.
I had the market cornered on BS rambling songs, and now she's coming along.
Yoko Ono and her are getting together, working up a game plan. How do we stop her? She's taking over our side of the street.
Ralph, you mind if we take a quick phone call?
Oh, what now?
K-Rock, hello.
Hi, are you still doing the Foo Fighters tickets giveaway?
We just gave away our last pair to you because you're the first caller.
Hello?
Yep,
exciting news.
Why are you calling us?
I wanted to see if I won the K-Rock, the Foo Fighter tickets.
Yes, you did.
You did.
Yay, I did?
Yes,
you're the winner.
Yay, I've never won anything. Thank you.
Well, this is pretty cool then. You're going to have a good night tomorrow.
You're underwhelmed, we can tell, but try to hold on to yourself.
They're an amazing band, and you're going to have the time of your life tomorrow night at the Forum. You were the first caller through after you heard the phrase that pays, so well done. What's your name, by the way?
Natalie.
Natalie, have a great weekend. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
Okay. That's nice.
It is nice. It's nice to give away things to
people. Some fun winners today.
Yeah. I like how Kevin tries to confuse them when they answer the phone.
We
already gave away the last pair of tickets to you.
What?
Right, what? Right. Hello?
Okay, maybe.
She didn't try even these hear words. Me. You're the winner.
All right, let me write that down.
Makes things easier for everybody.
We
gave away the last tickets already to somebody who's not you.
So you're the winner.
Try that next time. Try. Call us now and leave a message. We'll go thank you. Today's celebrity birthdays, Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page is 71 years old today. Actor J.K. Simmons turned 60. Dave Matthews of the Dave Matthews Band is 48 years old. And Nina DeBrev, she's 26. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, we're going to take a look at the NFL weekend with Andrew Siciliano.
Hawks.
What? I'm sorry?
Go Hawks.
Full recap of the Golden Globes as well. And Harvey Levin.
Get this young.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I don't know that I've ever watched the news.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Suck my...
Hey.
Roll another one.
Not good.
Just like the other one.
I believe that's what you call it, observational.
This one seems to be about to quit.
That was stupid.
And I need another hit.
Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay? Thanks.
Everybody pregnant!
Just like the other one.
Good effort, although savagely racist.
This one seems to be about sex.
I love doing drugs.
I don't have another cent.
I can't believe it. This is insane.
Am I dreaming? Do I have my pants on?
At first, this was funny, but it's gotten out of hand.
Let's pass it around.
I'll be the best sex you will ever have.
Wash all this old lady vagina off me.
Anybody got any more jokes? Anything funny? No? No? All right. See you, folks.
I know how this goes. It ends badly.
In all seriousness, though, who cares about anything? We'll all be dead soon.
Don't shut it off. I'm warning you.
I've never seen anything like this before. I don't...
I'm not interested in your opinion. Just shut it off.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Yep, there it is.
Oh, my. Ha, ha.